Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
An Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Thursday edition of The Drive. Another beautiful day. Breezy, but just gorgeous. I don't know that there's a cloud in the sky. It is absolutely beautiful today. Hope everybody doing well on this Thursday as we head up to the Easter weekend. A lot going on today. The Sweet 16 gets underway. We've got four really interesting ball games coming up this evening. We have Auburn baseball with Easter this weekend. Auburn playing Thursday through Saturday in College Station against Texas A&M. And speaking of baseball, it's the official opening day of Major League Baseball. So there's quite a bit going on. Also, spring football practice continues at Auburn. And another, I guess, seven or eight players that we had a chance to talk to a little earlier today. So we've got quite a few things we can discuss with you. We'd love to hear from you here on the Thursday Drive. And you can call in. Give us a call on the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. That number's 334-321-1390. Or you can text us and the Drive text box, which is presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. That number's 334-564-1840. Dan is on the road with the Troy women's basketball team in the WNIT, headed up to Greensboro, North Carolina for a matchup against North Carolina A&T tomorrow. But more than, I wouldn't say. I'm very happy that we have a full studio today. Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. And Justin, it's sort of like I said to Andy yesterday. Well, I guess it's good to have you back. Although Auburn fans would prefer for you to, like Bruce Pearl opened up today, would prefer for you to be up in Boston covering the Sweet 16.
Yeah, absolutely. Didn't expect to be home as early as I was. Obviously, with Auburn losing, obviously, a chance of that. And San Diego State played really well the other night.
Yes, they did.
And they have that rematch tonight against UConn. So, good to be home. It was a whole lot of travel. Once you get to the end of the season, you kind of look up and you're like,
man,
you've been going full speed.
Have you ever figured the miles that you logged?
I haven't done it yet, but I was thinking about it, you know, the second week of September, I went to Cal and back. And then since then, it's been, pretty much every other week I've been out on the road somewhere. So, but it's been good, and it'll be good to kind of get back into the swing of things here again. But I know a lot of Auburn fans, every Auburn fan wanted to see the Tigers go deep. But
yeah, there's no Auburn fan that could be happy at what happened.
But I think the other thing is, as we talked to Bruce Pearl today, there's a lot of moving parts, and I think, as soon as your season's done, the off season starts going, and in college basketball, there's a lot of news that can happen pretty quickly, and we got a good chunk of that today, and so I think this off season is going to be one of the most interesting ones we've had yet for Auburn basketball, and they're already hard at work at it.
Yeah, we'll get into that in just a little bit. Let's welcome in Coach Don Dunn back in as Dan on the road. Don, how you doing today?
Doing great, Bill. Again, thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Any time. You're welcome anytime. It doesn't matter if both of us are here. You're welcome to come in. But I really appreciate you stopping in, coming back by today. Tomorrow, we're gonna be on location at Fairway Auto Brokers. I was telling Ben Taylor early this morning. I don't know if it was intentional or not, but I wasn't in the loop on that. My wife happened to hear a commercial that said we were going to be there, and it's like, oh, well, that's good. It's good that we picked up on that. But yeah, we'll be out there tomorrow. Looking forward to that. They're having a big tent sale tomorrow. So we'll be out there following on the line, which will be there as well. So, yeah, we're just getting underway. And, yeah, Justin, let's get back to a little bit of basketball talk. Obviously, I mean, the headlines that I've read from and I was over there, too. I mean, it was funny. I had a question after the first question. I had one, but Matt from AL.com got to ask about the roster, and it's like, no, that was the question I had. And then it moved all around. I thought, I want to ask a little more specific question, and Nathan asked the question. So it's like, oh, well, I didn't get – but I thought some really good information, and I know that the first thing that a lot of people took out of it was, boy, Bruce was – really defending his team and scolding the Auburn fans for being down on what was a great year. And yes, we talked about that the other day, and we can get into that. You know, the thing that I really took was it your question
about Todd?
Yeah, because I think all of us had thought, mm-hmm. well, Todd's going to come in and be a scorer. He's a scoring point guard, and Bruce was like. I mean, he immediately said he's not a point guard.
Well, and that's the thing. I've been writing about it this week. I wrote a lot about it, actually, today in the mailbag that went up at the Observer. But, like, that was the big question for me, even more so than what do they do in the front court, is just, okay, you have two young point guards. Like, Auburn was so rare this year that they had two point guards pretty much split time down the middle. And now you add the
and
number
you're
one.
You're going to add what appeared to be a third.
Yeah, the number one rated point guard in the country. But as Bruce Pearl said, yes, he's a point guard because he's 5'11". Like, it's not necessarily the fact that he is a true point guard and that's where we play him. They think he is good enough, and if you've watched him on film, it's pretty apparent he's good enough to be a pure scorer, can be in that off-ball role, a very disruptive defender as well. And so I asked, like, hey, how do you handle that? And he said, great question. He's not a point guard.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
bam.
And I had heard them. I had heard some rumblings of, hey, maybe they'll play him off ball, try to get creative and find ways to get all these guys on the floor. But, you know, to come right out and say that pretty early. And it also, like Bruce said, it explains some of what's happened with the roster and what could be going on with the roster moving forward. Katie Johnson hopping into the portal. You bring Denver Jones back, okay? Auburn's recruiting off ball guards. They're already looking at bringing another guy, you know, Pettiford in as an off-ball guy. It all just sort of makes sense. Otherwise, you were just going to have this crazy logjam.
Yeah, you were
going
to have way too many folks. So that's what I was wondering, if that explains or opens a pathway for another. Because I still think that it. I'd feel more comfortable with a more experienced guy coming in to handle the ball as well.
Potentially, and I think that might depend on if either one of Aiden or Trey leaves. Mm-hmm. If that happens, yes, I think Auburn gets in the market for a point guard. Auburn has contacted, I think it's like 14 or 15 guys in the portal. I think it's 14 that have not signed anywhere yet. There's a couple of them are committed anywhere yet. Only one of them, Jordan Sears, who plays at UT Martin, is what you would consider a true point guard. Everybody mm-hmm. else, you could kind of see them kind of floating around a little bit. I do wonder how much that would change, though, if one of Auburn's young point guards decided, hey, I'm going to go on, you know, somewhere else, find a way to get more playing time, you know, all that. And then you could probably see maybe Auburn getting into that spot at point guard. But it's something we talked about this week about Auburn. And yes, Auburn did not play well at the guard spot against Yale, and it was a big reason why they lost, and there was a lot of criticism about that position. But it's one of those things where it was like, you know, it's playing the results. It's like Auburn loses and their guards weren't great. It's like, well, I told you this is their problem all year. They won 24, 25 games, like, you know, in the regular, like, this was a really, really good basketball team. I think what happened is, you know, Auburn didn't lose to Yale because their guards weren't good enough all year long. Auburn lost to Yale because Chad Becker-Mazzara got ejected 2 minutes into the game, and that changed how their backcourt
it did
played. They weren't full strength.
I mean Bruce said it again today, and we were talking about it a little bit before Bruce showed up today. I mean, Auburn had a 10-point lead with 7.5 minutes to go in the ball game.
Could have won.
They
had plenty of opportunities to win,
like,
that game.
Oh, they were down and fighting back or anything. They had the lead. They didn't do what they needed to maintain the lead.
They didn't play well, and for most of the season they played really well.
Yep.
And that's the difference. Okay, like, you look at the other big upset in the first round of the tournament, especially as it relates to the SEC, was Kentucky losing to Oakland. And I made the point that, like, Kentucky lost to Oakland doing the stuff Kentucky's done all year, which is not play defense.
They didn't do anything differently than what we'd seen Kentucky do all year long. Auburn did.
And a big reason for that was their third best player and their best guard was gone.
Well, and the guy that probably would have been on Pulikaitis, you know, I mean, who
secondary
went off.
Playmaker, helps your assist to turnover ratio.
And the ball didn't move.
Nope.
You know, I mean, that's something, and I don't know for sure, but I just feel like if he's in the ball game, that you're going to get an extra pass
or
two.
Absolutely.
And it's the offense looked more stagnant than usual.
Yeah, it just showed you the value of Chad Baker-Mazar. But again, when you look forward for Auburn, you look at a team that says, all right, if we're bringing in a guy like Tahad Pettiford, and I think it's a good role too. If you bring in your five-star, we saw it with Aiden this year, and Aiden did a good job of, you know, becoming a playmaker, being more of a true point guard than just, you know, a high scoring option. I do think it's really interesting to come in to bring a five-star player into the fold for Auburn and say, hey, we're not going to tell you have to run the show on offense. Mm-hmm. You come in and get buckets. You come in and score. You go do what you do. And also know that there's a guy ahead of you in Denver Jones who's done this for a while now, so the pressure's not all going to be on you. And I think that's a great environment for a five-star to step into, especially in this day and age of college basketball where high school guys just don't get very many chances anymore. I mean, everybody's trying to get older and deeper through the transfer portal. So when you do get an elite talent and you don't want to turn those down, you just find a way to get him in there. But to get Pettiford into the fold without necessarily putting a ton of pressure on him right away, I think it's great. If he can go out there and just be himself, be that scoring guard that he has been in the high school ranks, even if he isn't a starter, even if he isn't the star of the show, it could be a really, really – I think it would be really beneficial for him this season.
334-321-1390. We'd love for you to join in. Give us your thoughts. We'll talk some more basketball with Justin Ferguson, who's covered Auburn home and away all year long. We can talk some football as well. Auburn about to head into what may be about as important a practice, not today's. Well, today's is very important, but Saturday's. Don, Saturday will be the last scrimmage before A-Day, and people go, yeah, well, A-Day is a scrimmage, but it's not the same. I mean, I have felt many times that last full scrimmage before the spring game is the one where that's the impression that's going to be left on the coaches that will head into the offseason.
Yeah, you're exactly right. This Saturday will be probably a little bit longer, a little bit more of the ones. And then after this game, or this practice on Saturday, that's usually your last hard, big-time scrimmage. Like you said, the A-Day's changed over the years. Some of even your best players don't get a lot of reps. A lot of your walk-ons and younger kids will. And I know everything is scripted for the A-Day and the time. Sometimes they let the clock run, all those things.
Right, and but sometimes it's not – a lot of the time it's not best against best.
No, never probably. But you're right. This Saturday will be a big, important day for the upcoming fall.
Yeah, so that's coming up. We talked to a few more players today. Again, we're just getting underway. We've got a ton of different directions we could go. You can guide us by calling us, 334-321-1390. We'll get to our first break here on the Thursday Drive.
My joints aren't what they used to be. Routine exercise.
Live with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill, Justin Ferguson, Coach Don Dunn, Drew at the controls, and we'll get to the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Cameron is up first. Hey, Cameron.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Pretty good.
Yeah, just want to get y'all's input on the with all of the Auburn players that are in the draft process right now. After all of the combine stuff, after all of their pro day performances, who do y'all think has the better chance of being the first Auburn player taken in a draft? And I'll just hang up listening. Thanks, guys.
DJ James still strikes me as the top option there. He was getting talked about most of the season as a second or third round guy. I think he's got probably the best skill set and the best just kind of look of like what teams want in a certain position as a corner, as a guy who's been, you know, he got put on an island at times and played really well in the SEC. He's got good numbers. He's got, you know, good metrics. A little on the smaller end, a little lighter, but he plays pretty physically. So, yeah, I was down at the Senior Bowl not too, you know, a couple months ago, and, you know, we were talking through some stuff with some NFL people that I know, and it just seemed like James's name was kind of the one you heard the most. But I'm interested in Jalen Simpson, where he ends up. I don't know if he'll necessarily jump everybody, but I do think he's in a much better spot to hear his name called. All he has done in testing at the Combine and Pro Day has just been super, super impressive. And he's a really good football player, too. That's one of those things where it was like with Jalen Simpson, he seemed like one of those guys that, you know, you always get overlooked at times. Because it's like, oh, yeah, you have the stats, but do you have what we're looking for size-wise, speed-wise, you know, and whatever at the next level? And then he's really impressed a lot of people with the way he's tested out. So I would go with James. I'm really thinking, though, that, you know, Simpson probably has the best shot of kind of making a jump. And I also say he's probably a day three guy, but Marcus Harris, I think, is a defensive lineman you can put in any scheme. You know, it's whether you run, you know, whether you run an odd man front, you know, even man front, you know, whatever you like to do. I think Marcus Harris is the kind of player that you can have, get him in your rotation, get him some opportunities early, and he's just the type of dude I think plays above what people think about him. So I personally think whoever lands Marcus Harris is going to get a steal in those later rounds just because of the way he is and the kind of type of football player he is. Very smart player, very hardworking player. I think.
Anything else, Cameron? I agree with you. I mean, Marcus is the kind of guy. I mean, you know, we heard Malik was talking about him a little bit a couple of days ago. I mean, just
Keldrick Fall talked about
yeah,
him.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. You know, his attitude, his demeanor, his work ethic.
Yeah.
He will be a very good, he'll be a good addition to a team whether he starts immediately or not, but I think he'll continue to work to get that opportunity, yeah. And then when he gets an opportunity, I feel like he's going to take advantage.
We talked to Vontrell King Williams not too long ago, and I'm sure Coach Jones had some players like these, especially on the line of scrimmage, where he's like, hey, this dude's not the best athlete in the world, he's not the strongest guy, but he's just smart and he works hard, and that can take you a long way in football. And I think Marcus is a great example of this. This guy is a three-star. When at Kansas started his career, he ends up being an all-SEC guy by the end of his career because of, you know, what he had between his ears, and that took him a long way.
Yeah, that you're right. That goes a long way. And if I'm a pro scout, that's what I'm looking for. It's great to have all the other, you know, the athletic ability, all that stuff. But if you don't work at it and you're not smart about it, then sometimes those guys fall by the wayside.
334-321-1390. That is the drive hotline here on this Thursday. Four games on tap tonight. What is the what's the most interesting game for you tonight? I mean, North Carolina and Alabama obviously is really interesting, but you've got Illinois, Iowa State. You've got the left side of the bracket. So obviously UConn, the rematch of the national championship game, is there as well.
And you get Arizona, Clemson. Illinois, Iowa State is probably the best one on paper because you've got two teams that do things pretty differently. But, you know, we were talking about it when Auburn got that draw in that regional. It was like, hey, this is the group of death because of how good, you know, the top four seeds in that league are. But you got an Iowa State team, probably the best defense there. That's the I just looked it up right there. Iowa State, best defense in the country, according to KenPom. Illinois, best offense in the country right now, according to KenPom. So that is a big-time, you know, styles make fights kind of game. Very even on paper. I think it's a 1.5-point spread. Of those games, that one's the most intriguing. Like, it could go either way very easily. Carolina and Bama, though, is crazy because, like, we've seen Alabama play, you know, pick themselves off the mat and play two pretty good games, especially this mm-hmm. last one on defense, even though I'll contend if you watch that game, Grand Canyon didn't run a single offensive play, it felt like, at all in that game. But
that game didn't look like basketball.
But it was crazy that Bama won a game like that.
Yeah,
Bama
that's right. That's Bama, not the kind of game that they have won.
The thing with Carolina is that, you know, obviously Bama can score on anybody. Carolina's had some games where they've given up a lot on defense. But my big question is, does Alabama have what it takes to handle Armando Bacot? You're talking about a guy who's played mm-hmm. a ton of basketball down low, and he's been such a consistent – he's kind of like been Jani Broome was for Auburn this year. He's like, you know, you're going to get 15 points, 8 rebounds, a few blocks. It's just what else are you going to get off of that? I don't know if Bama, you know, if they hit shots, they can beat anybody. But, you know, that is going to be a very different type of matchup for sure. But, yeah, that Illinois-Iowa State game, I mean, it is, again, best offense in the country, best defense in the country going at it. Like, and winner goes to the Elite Eight, that's about as good as you can get.
And the winner there plays, as you said, the Arizona-Clemson winner. I don't think there were a lot of people that thought either of those teams would be there. No. Arizona has traditionally been the kind of program they're either out really early or they make deep, deep runs. Clemson, I mean, look at the ACC. Yeah. ACC with four of the Sweet 16.
Yeah. And
they were supposed to be – it was supposed to be, you know, an off year, a down year for the ACC.
And it was. It has been. It's been for a few years now. It goes to show a couple of things that I think is so – you know, when we talk about the tournament and people being disappointed, like, why can't Auburn go on these runs and stuff like that, and just how different postseason basketball is, how different NCAA tournament basketball is. There are two things that stick out to me there. Number one, there was a stat this week from I can't remember who had it first, but if you look at the last three national champions, besides UConn, so the three before them, so it was Baylor and Virginia and Kansas. They're, each of those teams, the last five tournaments they've been in, they've won the national championship and got knocked out in the first weekend in the other four. Which is crazy to think about. It's like you just got to get hot at the right time, and you can be an awesome team, and you can even win a championship. That's not going to guarantee you to go deep every year.
No.
And it also, if I can be a little bit of a fan here, it also shows what Gonzaga's done is crazy, because they get doubted every year when they come to this tournament. I think it's, what, 9 straight Sweet 16s for Gonzaga?
Yeah, it's what Michigan State did for more than, you know, for it seemed
but
like
it's
for
very,
two
very rare. Like,
yes,
you can
it is.
Be the
but
pinnacle
people just
of
expect,
college.
Well, you should be. And, yes, you would think if you're a team that wins
if you're a top four seed,
20,
you're favored to go to the Sweet 16, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen.
No, not every year.
No. And, yeah, like, Virginia was not great this year and shouldn't have been in the tournament, but, like, Baylor was a really good basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas was a basketball team. They usually are really, really good, though. But it is some, like, even the teams that have reached the pinnacle of college basketball, winning the national title, it's hard for those teams, those programs, to get out of the first weekend every year. I mean, it was a shock.
You've seen some of them that are out of the tournament the first weekend, then win the title.
Yeah, and you could have that situation developing right here with Purdue. Because it wasn't a shock that Purdue made it to the second weekend. I think it was more of a shock that they just hammered the two mm-hmm. teams they played. And it's been, you know, they have been the classic underachiever. And that's the cruelty of college basketball. And why also, when you hear somebody like Bruce Pearl or whoever talk about the importance of regular season accomplishments, this is why it matters. Because you can be awesome through 30 games, and if you have one bad night, it's over.
Right.
And Purdue... I mean, you can look at the last decade, and it's like Purdue is probably one of the best college basketball programs year to year in the country, and they've made it to this. This is only like the second or third time they made it to the Sweet 16. Like, that's crazy to think about.
Well, and then the other thing, I know you know a lot of Auburn fans have had fun, you know, chuckling at Tennessee and Rick Barnes not being able to advance deep.
They look good.
They do.
They look real good.
334-321-1390. Who we got, Drew?
Terry. He said he'll wait till after.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Terry's going to hold on. We will. We'll go ahead and get to our bottom of the hour break. And right back with Terry. You can get in line behind him, 334-321-1390. It's Bill, Justin, Coach Don Dunn here on the Thursday Drive.
and Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Thursday afternoon, 28 minutes away from 5 o'clock. And let's get back to The Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Terry is next. Hey, Terry.
Hey, good afternoon, Bill. Justin, Coach Dunn, how y'all doing today?
Great.
Fantastic. I wouldn't have asked Coach Pearl a question about Chad Baker, Mazzaro, because I think that's been done to death. The real question to be asked is Auburn's good enough without him to beat Yale.
Yeah, and I don't think he was saying that they weren't. He brought up the fact that Auburn was up 10
He rattled off a list of about 20 mistakes they made in the final few minutes of that game. You're absolutely right, Terry. Like the ejection changed the way Auburn played for sure. But also it was like you had plenty of chances to win that game even without him.
Yeah, but the question I would have asked him is for 3 straight years Auburn's going home on the first weekend. Am I right there?
That is right.
That is right. Yeah. Yeah, they have. They have it. The Final Four runs the only time they've the last time they've gone deep.
Yeah, that's the question that needs to be asked right there.
Well, I think they're different answers for the mm-hmm. different teams.
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, he was pretty much on a roll today, though.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And I want to ask you guys a question about the Alabama North Carolina game tonight. Mm-hmm. Now, Justin, you mentioned Baycott, who seemed like he's been there for 20 years.
Yeah.
How do their guards match up? Because that's where Alabama's strength is, their guard. I don't worry about that. They're going to get their own. But how do they match up guard-wise? Because it seems like the first two teams Alabama played have been like, Mark Sears, you're going to do what you do. We're not going to stop you. We're just going to let you do it. He's good enough to beat you.
Yeah, no.
North Carolina's a far cry from those first two opponents.
Yeah, no. Carolina's got a really good backcourt, very, very deep. They've got some really good shooters this season in particular. It's been kind of one of their strengths. But, yeah, I mean – R.J. Davis, another guy who's played a lot of basketball.
He's another very experienced, very talented point guard.
Yeah, and they've gotten some really good, more offense off the bench for Harrison Ingram, Cormac Ryan, Elliot Cadeau. Like Cadeau's been a really, but those guys have been that is a backcourt that I think can handle. Obviously Sears is a tough matchup no matter what, but that is a Carolina team that is pretty deep in the backcourt as well.
Yeah, I think it's the front. The front court is where Carolina, I think, has the advantage with Baycott.
And one quick football question for you, Justin, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
How does it say about the talent that Hugh Freeze is bringing in when you got freshmen zooming to the front of the line, second team, even first team in some cases?
Oh, I mean, I think
how bad the roster was.
Yep, I 100% agree, and that's why it's been all in on recruiting. That's why Hugh Freeze, put so much emphasis on recruiting, especially in that first season, because it was just Auburn had lagged behind. I mean, you had 2 years with Harsin where you didn't recruit nearly at the level that you were used to, and you had players leave. You had a ton of attrition on top of that, and so it wasn't starting completely from scratch. There were good players he did inherit, obviously, last year, but like
there weren't enough of them.
There weren't enough of them.
Is there someone? I was just thinking about this, Terry and Justin. Help me if I'm got a brain lock or something. But is anybody besides Cam Coleman just jump out at you as a starter? Right now, the freshmen. I think there's a lot of freshmen that are going to play. They're going to be in the rotation.
Starter, no, but I think it's because of where Coleman plays and his position. But for I look at a guy like Amaris Williams as a dude who's going to play.
Jamonte Waller,
Joe Phillips.
Yeah,
like there's
a lot of guys that think they're going to play.
They're going to play, but yeah, I mean, and to Terry's point, like those guys are getting some second team reps as well.
Absolutely,
but yes, that does say like, but Cam. Cam Coleman's a different type of player. Just
and
period.
He was very enjoyable to interview today.
Yeah, no, great interview. He's a kid that just knows the attention that he has on him, but also I think has got a really
seem
great
caught work. Up in it.
No,
or
not at all.
He doesn't feel it doesn't appear that he feels any pressure from it.
Yeah,
and
you.
Bill, I wouldn't be surprised if some of those young guys aren't starters by the end of the season.
Oh, absolutely. Well,
no, I wouldn't be surprised. I tell you what, though, I mean, if Auburn stays healthy at some of those spots that we were talking about. Jalen McLeod stays healthy. Joe Phillips is going to play. Jamonte Waller will play a lot.
But that's the thing. It's like if you stay healthy, you'll have something that Auburn didn't really have much of last season, hadn't had for a while. It's just, talented depth.
Right.
The thing about Alabama and Georgia and LSU and Texas A&M isn't just the fact that they start a bunch of really good players. It's that the guys coming off the bench are just as good as well, because you're going to need that depth. And Auburn's trying, slowly but surely, they're trying to build up to that level.
Appreciate it, guys. You have a great day.
Good call, Terry. Good hearing from you. 334-321-1390. And Brett is up next. Hey, Brett. Oh, we lost Brett. Brett, if you get a chance, give us a call back. 334-321-1390. Anything on your mind sports-wise here? All right, so we've had a chance to talk to a lot of players this spring. More than I can recall, as a matter of fact. It has been a long time.
A lot of young players, too, which
a lot of first-year players. I mean, freshmen and transfers. We've had, golly, it feels like most of them.
All of them, yeah.
Yeah, it really does. And I like that. I mean, that tells me a couple of things, Justin. It tells me that this coaching staff, Hugh Freeze, is not worried about what they're going to say when they come out there, because we've had that. We've had that before where you knew we were only going to get like three or four guys. The guys that you knew were going to toe the company line and they weren't going to say anything that might ruffle any feathers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we've seen that. We've seen that before in a couple sports.
We have.
But I think it's good. It's a signal that, like, hey, Auburn is building for the future, that they're not afraid to put these guys out there. And again, that's not to say that the older guys that are back on this team aren't going to be. I mean, we talked to Keontae Scott today.
Oh, yeah.
We talked to, you know, several others. But, like,
we get a good mix is what we
get.
You get
a good mix. But, like, it's also, like, the thing when you've had three straight losing seasons, what are you selling people on for right now? It's the future. It's what could happen. And the one bright positive for Auburn football last season was they recruited really well. And so that's got to be a habit. And you also need to start showing that off as early as possible. And so I think it's a really good sign that they are willing to do that, because that's more of that is going to be what's going to take Auburn to the next level. Not necessarily them talking to us in the media, but just having young players who are in a position to get talked about, to get in those reps in spring ball.
I think Hugh Freeze gets it as far as what fans want to know something about these guys.
Right.
And you know, there's not the access that there used to be. I mean, practices aren't just open where fans can come watch or things like that. And you know, we don't just get to go in after practice and just talk
pull
to pick players and get to talk to them, things like that. So I think it's very important. When especially you're trying to build confidence and excitement in the fan base, that they feel like they get to know more and more of these guys, and it's been great, Don. I bet we've had half the roster.
Yeah, I've listened to a lot of them, and that tells me two things. Like I always say, the second year is always better. The recruiting has been excellent so far, and these kids, believe it or not, they enjoy that. That makes them feel good, you know, to get interviewed. You know,
some of them are a little overwhelmed, everybody's looking at them, pointing.
But it's good for them in the future.
Oh yes,
and you know, they've been schooled. They don't, you know, they have meetings. They have people come in and talk to them about how to present themselves to the media. But you're right, the fans love that. I mean, and they deserve that. And as a coach, on the other side, you're scared to death.
Oh,
What's this knucklehead going to say?
Yeah, that's right. But no, they've been very good thus far.
And they've all carried themselves well, I think. And, you know, you always worry about that. What's he going to say? Is he going to, you know, butcher the English language or whatever? But I think it's a great point.
No. I mean, I'm trying to remember all the guys we had. You mentioned Keontae Scott. Let's see, Cam Coleman, Connor Liu was there.
Joe Phillips, Keldrick Falk. Rico Walker, another new guy. Yep. Too Tall Miller was out there. We were supposed to get Jeremiah Cobb, and he ended up not being able to make it.
I left because I needed to get a couple of things. He was the only one that hadn't come in there.
Yeah,
usually there's one that can't make it or something.
Yeah, I mean, you got to also remember these dudes are
in class.
Yeah. They have a lot of stuff going on.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well,
and I thought I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but the Coach Nix's interview was excellent.
Oh, Derek Nix is really excited about
the position
where he is and how things are going.
And like you said the other day, that tells me that they're on the same page and they're comfortable. And it makes a big difference, guys. I'm telling you, I've been there. And When you're on the same page, and the kids know that too now. You can't fool them.
I ask, and a couple of times, I'll ask a player about the guys they're going against on the other side.
Right.
Because, you know, if you ask them about the guys they're with, they'll go, oh, everybody's doing it. Everybody's great. Everybody's great. Kids are all good. They're swimming. They're going to be fine. They're all talented. But, I mean, you ask about the other side, then you're going to hear, ooh, the guys that are either the toughest matchups for them or what they think. And if we get a chance, I may run did you hear that Keontae Scott? I asked Keontae about the offense, and he went, "Oh, this offense is going to be good." He said, mm-hmm. "It's so much better. It's good for him to be going against guys like Cam Coleman and the offense, and he thinks it's really good for the offense to be going against them."
Yep.
So that's why I said Saturday. I think, you know, a lot of the young guys have been getting some opportunity. They've had some scrimmage. This is going to be the last big scrimmage, of the spring. So that last big impression that everyone can make on the coaching staff. And that's going to determine, you know, in these days of the transfer portal, mm-hmm. I think that's going to go a long way to determining, you know, who's here or who you're fighting to keep here.
Right, exactly. There'll be a big evaluation day. Like I said earlier, I think they'll go a little bit longer, a little harder. There'll be a lot of situation parts of the scrimmage. And you're right, this is a big, big evaluation. And because, like I said, some of these guys may not be back. Like you said, what do we need to – we have to go get. We have to fill this.
Right, what you need to go get and what you need to keep.
Exactly.
Now,
that's the important thing.
That brings something up, Justin, that we'll go back to basketball real quickly. Mm-hmm. When Bruce Pearl was talking about NIL folks contacting players mm-hmm. while things are still going on. I had not heard that mm-hmm. before. I mean, well, I'd heard some of that. I hadn't heard anyone in a position of authority or in the position to really be involved with it say that until Bruce said it today.
Yeah, and, I mean, there are no rules. We were talking about this the other day about something. I can't remember what it was, but it was just kind of like I was talking with somebody about kind of like a recruiting thing about NIL getting involved. This was at another place. This is not referring to Auburn, but like getting involved in these visits and stuff like that. And I made a comment about something. I was like, isn't that against the rules? Isn't that kind of like what's been going on at Tennessee or something like that? And then it clicked in my head. I was like, oh wait, that didn't matter right now. You know, like it is kind of, you can just do whatever you want. And like Bruce said, like today, like it's all going to come down to just personally what coaches feel like this is what we're going to do or this is what we're not going to do.
Yes, either until or unless there are rules, then it's just do what you think you ought mm-hmm. to do or what you can get away with or what you feel comfortable with.
And he came out very anti-tampering, and I mean, it's crazy. I mean, when we see it, and we see it all the time because it's like, it's one of those things like when a kid goes into the portal and he has the do not contact tag on. And it's
when he goes in, he has that. Or kids that
– Where he goes in and says he already has his mind made up. Right. He's like, well, how do you have your mind made up
you
already?
Hadn't even officially been in the portal. Well, that's what Bruce said today, Don.
I don't know if you heard that when he was
talking about NIL agents contacting his players, telling them how much they can get if they come there.
And he was very –
And they're not in the portal.
Yeah, and he was very adamant.
He
will fire a guy on his staff at –
Yeah, he said, we're not going to do that.
That's the thing. As a coach, you can't control some of this stuff, and that's why it's so crazy. Like, you got the third or fourth guy down the line making these contacts. And that went on even before. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, we'd lose a guy or get a guy that we thought, well, why'd you come here? Well, so-and-so told me I was going to get this over there, and I'm going, what? But it's crazy now. I mean, woo.
Yeah, and I thought it was And I mean, it was refreshing. Bruce said, yes, absolutely. Auburn's going to do whatever they can to keep Janai, to get him back. I mean, we've talked about it, but he said it exactly. He said exactly what we were talking about here in the last couple of days, that, mm-hmm. you know, he's got to weigh what he can get here at Auburn as compared to what he could get as a possible second round, maybe late first round or overseas player.
Yeah, and it's the money is very different. If you're a standard second round pick and you sign a regular second round pick deal, it's this amount of money. Now, if you get on a two-way deal, it's a lot less. If you get on an Exhibit 10 deal, It's an even lot less. In some cases, a lot of those guys who get picked late second round or UDFAs in the NBA, they make a lot more money playing overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just about, like, what you want to do, what you think your value is, and what you could do, you know, this season. And I think the thing, there's the talk that's like, hey, you know, Jani's stock will never be higher than it is right now. And I'm of the opinion that if he came back, he could very much have a season like he just had again, but it's a matter of
people would know about him beforehand, and I think the stock would be even higher.
How much stock? How much does that raise your stock? You know, because the other thing you got to weigh is this is the NBA. Also, it's not NFL is a lot more, and MLB is a lot more forgiving than this. But like NBA, youth is everything. They will take a kid from the other side of the world who's 18. Rather than an established, you know, 21-year-old.
Yeah, especially
like 20. Like Dalton Connect this season was the best scorer, like big high level scorer in college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably going to be a first round pick, probably a lottery pick. But you look at mock drafts, it's like top fives are exclusively made up of dudes who aren't from America, haven't been playing college basketball, because it's just like, hey, we want to control the fact that, you know, a kid like that is 10 years away from their prime, and in basketball, that's everything. So you got to weigh that aspect of it as well. If you're a guy like Jani Broome, and just what do you want? Like, you know, do you feel like you have a real opportunity to make an NBA roster long term, stick in the league for a while? If being in, you know, if being overseas is probably going to end up being what you, and this is not for Jani specifically, but for anybody who's making the decision, but like, if you think overseas ball is going to be your future, more likely than not, or that's where it's trending, do you wait that out for another year and try to maximize what you can get here, you here back home? So there's a lot of options, but and I'll be very interested to see, because Auburn doesn't want to be in a position where they're having to wait. Like, they don't want to get
and that was that was sort of the question Nathan was asking that I wanted to get to, is like, timing. You can't push. You can't go, hey, I've got to have a decision by Sunday or whatever to Jani and his family.
Last year, Jani didn't pull out of the draft.
Can't do that
until
this year.
2 days before the start of June. It was like May 29th.
Auburn is so fortunate, mm-hmm, that he came back.
And they obviously had a good year, and you know, was a very successful team. They're still playing basketball, but like, Alabama just went through this with Charles Bediako. The exact, that team was built to have, mm-hmm, Charles Bediako at the five.
Well, how much, really? How good would they be?
Oh, man, they'd have been awesome. They would have been fantastic, you know, with that. And they missed a lot of him this year, and they couldn't do it. So it's interesting, because you got to play this. You got to play this game in the portal also, where it's like, you know, last year when Auburn was when Auburn was looking at guy, when Jani, I should say, was looking at the NBA, they were going after centers in the portal, but they just knew that
the Florida kid,
Hang Lawton, who broke his leg, like that kid was heavily in Auburn. Mm-hmm. You know, the big guy from South Florida that ended up playing at Georgia this year, Auburn looked at him as well. You know, so there were a number of those guys that, and you kind of have to play around. It's interesting, the center spot right now for Auburn, and also you got to have, like, Dylan Carwell's got to come back for a fifth year. You gotta keep that in mind as well. The center spot for Auburn, I think Cliff Omiyuri is the only one I've seen pure centers that they've contacted, mm-hmm, but they've got some dudes who can move around. There's a lot of, if you look at the list of the dudes they've targeted in the portal, it's a lot of versatility. It's a lot of ones that could be twos could be ones, threes could be fours could be fives, you know, twos could be threes.
Most of those guys want to know how much time they're going to get.
Yep.
And right now it's like, well, if isn't going to sell it.
Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's more of a streamlined process as you're a little bit quicker, and if he's gone, he's gone. You know, if he feels like his heart's set on going pro and striking while the iron's hot, Auburn can do that, and they will have time to make that decision, you know, or make the decision on what they do next. I would be surprised if it lasts as long as it did last year, but I mean, obviously, there's always an opportunity.
Yeah, I'm sure that Bruce and his staff and Auburn basketball fans are hoping that the decision is made well before it was a year ago. We need to get to our final break. We're running behind here. I'd love for you to join in as we continue with the Thursday Drive.
If you you truly care.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Thursday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on a beautiful Thursday afternoon. Man, I hope the weather stays like this through the weekend. It would be a gorgeous season. Right now, it's beautiful. Azaleas are full bloom. I mean, it's great. I know it's tough for folks with bad allergies, but it's gorgeous right now. The only thing you worry is that my wife was like, the wind's blowing too hard. It's going to blow some of the blooms away.
Yes. Yeah, it sounds like my wife.
But, hope everybody doing well on this Thursday afternoon. That was Coach Don Dunn that you heard. You may have heard a little quick from Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. We're here in the studio. Dan is up in Greensboro, North Carolina, where he'll do the play-by-play for the Troy women's basketball team tomorrow night as they take on NCAA&T, North Carolina A&T, tomorrow in the round of 16 in the women's NIT. So we're here, and we'll talk whatever you would like sports-wise. There's a lot to talk about. Speaking of Sweet 16, four games on tap tonight in the NCAA men's tournament, getting started with Clemson, Arizona in the Western with the 2-6 seeds from the West. That's a 6:09 start tip on CBS. Half an hour later over on TBS, it'll be the East top seed UConn in a rematch of the national championship game from last spring, San Diego State and UConn. That'll be at 6:39. Then the games to follow. Alabama, North Carolina will be somewhere in the neighborhood of 8:39. I've got it. That's where they have it started. It'll be 25 minutes after the conclusion of the Clemson-Arizona game. And then 25 minutes after that UConn-San Diego State game. Great matchup with Iowa State and Illinois. Auburn football practicing again today. I guess this is one of the teaching days today before they have their final pre-A-Day scrimmage on Saturday. And we had an opportunity to spend some time with some of the players. If we get a chance, I thought I've got Cam Coleman, Keontae Scott, a couple that I think people would like to hear from today. But again, your calls come first, and calls, of course, coming in on the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. That number's 334-321-1390. You can also text us on the Drive text box, which is presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, and that number is 334-564-1840. It's hour number two of the Drive, and that is brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And let's get to the Drive hotline. And was it Specter up first? Hey, Specter.
Hey, I got a question for you, Bill. You've been at the window quite a bit of these practices, right?
I think I've been at every one that they've had open. Now, I haven't stuck around for the entire showing a couple of times because they've gone long. Justin's been out there too.
Yeah. Have y'all been able to see the quarterbacks and the line work out very good?
Seen a lot of the quarterbacks. I haven't seen as much of the entire 11s because that's been about a half an hour into the viewing windows, and then I felt like I ought to make it back.
Yeah, we've only got to see them a couple of times, you know, as a All full right. offense.
We'll talk about the quarterbacks then. Let's talk around town that everybody would be shocked not to see
Peyton.
Peyton as a starting quarterback. What I remember Hugh Freeze was saying is that, you know, it was wide open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell me what's been going on the practice field then.
Yeah, it's I think it's been a thing mostly for Peyton that he has looked more like the guy in the room that has so much more experience than everybody else. I think, you know, he has looked better throwing the ball. He looks more comfortable, in this offense. And obviously you're throwing against air, you're throwing to guys, but just seems to be a lot more in command of what's going on around him. I think that experience has helped him out. And then the fact also, especially like the guys he's competing against, just they haven't played a whole lot of football, and I think that's kind of standing out. You see a separation; it just kind of looks different from him. So we'll see like how much better he's really gotten in the fall. You won't be able to tell for sure then, but I do think it's that experience factor and that familiarity. You know, he didn't go through spring ball last year. He's got
So he was learning. He was behind actually the other guys last year in understanding the system starting in the fall.
And now I think you're starting to see his experience and just that seniority stand out a little bit more among a group of guys that are really talented at quarterback, but it's just a lot of youth and a lot of inexperience, and it shows especially early in practices.
Yeah, you know, y'all remember Marshall coming to Auburn as a defensive back and ended up being a quarterback, right?
And he's one of like you. People were talking about this with the portal. It's like he's one of the only guys I can remember where they came in as a quarterback in the middle of the summer and then was able to win the job and be really good. That like very very rare to see a guy
right.
do that.
Right.
Yeah. Well, is there a guy on the roster now that has got quarterback experience?
Not other than Peyton. I mean, really on the college level, no.
Mm-mm, no.
I heard there was a guy that was.
Well, Sam Jackson does.
Sam Jackson, yeah.
Who's one of Peyton's favorite receivers.
Yeah, he was actually teammates with Peyton Thorne in high school back in Illinois, and then he has played.
He took over for Peyton. He became a quarterback after Peyton graduated.
Yeah, and he was a quarterback that was kind of a more of a running, you know, change of pace quarterback at TCU and a little bit at Cal. But then he went into the portal with moving back to receiver, and he's reunited with Thorne there. But yeah, he would be he's the only other one that I'm aware of.
Were you there the other day with Sam? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Spectre.
So if Peyton doesn't get the ball to Jackson, Jackson's going to show him how it's done.
He might. Well, I'll tell you this: Sam Jackson knows what's supposed to be done. Having been a quarterback, he talked about that really helping him understand what he's supposed to be doing as far as running routes as a receiver.
And I'll also say, Spectre, you've got some young quarterbacks on this roster. I think, you know, I think of a guy like Walker White. He's a guy that when you watch him throw the ball, he really jumps out of his hands, got really good zip on it. It's just spring practice for him to just get used to everything and get his feet wet. And then maybe in the fall we can start hearing a little bit more about these younger quarterbacks and a guy like him. But, yeah, I do think you're seeing the difference right now with – I mean, Peyton Thorne, this is his fifth, sixth year of college football.
All right. I'm patient enough. I'll wait till the fall.
All right. Appreciate it, Spectre.
Here you go. All right, bye.
All right. Were you ever – did you get to hear Sam Jackson?
I was not at that one.
All right, because I was really interested. He was being asked about making the transition back. He said it's 2017 was the last time he'd played wide receiver. We've got some audio from him. We'll get to it at some point. Have you got some of that in it?
I got the Ken Coleman stuff.
Oh, okay. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But Sam Jackson was saying, someone said, well, did you have to did Auburn talk to you about being a receiver? And he said, no. He said it was the other way around. Said he called Auburn and had to try to convince them that he could be a good receiver. And that's where he was counting on Peyton to help him out to let the Auburn staff know that he could be a receiver, not just an athlete that they'd seen him be when they competed against him at Cal this past year. So I thought that was pretty interesting. He really, really wanted to come to the SEC and really, really wanted to come to Auburn. Did that, he said, because of Peyton. He said he and Peyton had been in contact a good bit, you know, after Peyton had finished high school. He said, but leading up to and following Auburn-Cal game, he said they stayed in contact so much because they hadn't seen each other in a long time. And despite the some of the tough times that Peyton went through this past year, Peyton really had nothing but good things to say about Auburn and Hugh Freeze and that would be a great place for Sam Jackson to come.
Yeah, no, I think that's the thing, too, is like when you look at the scope of the season for Auburn, the biggest problem Auburn had last year is they couldn't throw the ball against quality competition. But it wasn't like it was just terrible all the time. There were games last season, albeit against teams that weren't, you know, bowl teams, where Peyton Thorne did a really good job throwing the ball, and you felt like, hey, there's some momentum there. There's something to build off of. And I think that's the whole pitch right now. I mean, before the Music City Bowl, you know, it was like, hey, we're going to build around him. We're going to, and they're going back to doing that. They didn't get anybody in the portal.
Well, but I think he's needed to prove and get their confidence back.
Sure. And I think you don't want to be in a position where you're having to go get another guy in the summer and try to get him on the fly. Like, there would only be a very select few quarterbacks. And you don't even know if that guy even exists.
No, is there somebody, again, that you want to go out and get and bring in over the summer and hope that things work better?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tougher sell. And especially now, if you're Auburn, you've got multiple young quarterbacks behind him. Say something happens with Peyton Thorne. Say it isn't working out or he gets hurt. You have more depth that you want to develop. Like, Auburn wants a guy like Walker White to be the guy of the future, but that doesn't mean you force him in right now. There could be situations where that happens this season, but, you know, college football, it's a lot of old quarterbacks. And, you know, Freeze made this point. I'm not saying this dude's going to turn around and be a Heisman contender, because I think there's a lot of factors that go into that beyond just him. But you look at the guys who were the best quarterbacks in college football last season, a lot of them were players who were in the second year of being a transfer. Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, Michael Penix. Yeah, there are quite a few of them that there were there. The Texas kid.
You're a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. You've got Jaden Daniels. You've got, there were several of them like that. And I'm not saying Peyton Thorne's going to do that, but, like, we have seen guys who are in their second year of a system make those big jumps.
And a lot of those guys went through spring practice their first year.
Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow
being
the ultimate example of that. Obviously, Jaden Daniels is going to be the ultimate example of that as well, as guys are out. And I'm not saying Peyton Thorne's going to do that this year, but if you want to say, because I had a question about this in the mailbag today, if you want reasonable hope for, hey, this could be better next season, I think the fact that Auburn is better at wide receiver by the nature of recruiting better talent at wide receiver, and the fact that everybody's on the same page and that Peyton Thorne is a guy that has been through the fire at least once, should help.
He had put up some good numbers. I've heard some people say, well, look, he's an older guy. He's not going to get any better. We need to move on. And then it's like, no, the point you just made about these older guys or these guys in their second year after transferring, there is still room for improvement. Plus, I think everyone is much more excited about the offensive line this year. They feel like they, with Percy Lewis at left tackle and Dylan Wade moving into the left guard.
And I thought Auburn's offensive line was the best it had been in years.
It wasn't bad last year. No. Connor Liu is a pretty impressive young man.
Mm-hmm. They've got pieces up there for sure. And I think run blocking, they made a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Here was a stat that I didn't even click in my head with me until I saw it this week. Against ranked teams last year, if you look at all the teams in college football, against ranked teams, Auburn was a top 20 rushing offense in the country in yards per carry.
And that's with an offense that's really struggled to throw the ball, where the other teams could load up to try to stop the run.
And I'm not saying Auburn's going to turn around this year and light it up or anything like that, but if you're saying progress, improvement, you know, being a team that's firmly, like, they're not messing around with, you know, is this going to be another losing season or not? Like, taking steps forward, winning more games, being better on offense, building something for the future, there are the pieces there to make it. You got to go out there and do it, and there are no guarantees in this sport, but the pieces are there. And this is the time of year, if you're in the off season, you know, if you're a fan out there who wants to be optimistic, I can give you plenty of reasons to be optimistic, this is the time to do it. If you're sitting here thinking, like, oh, this is going to be another five, you know, it's going to be another losing season or all like that, you're going to have a rough next few months. But if you want to be optimistic, I mean, there are ways to point out, even with a guy like Peyton Thorne, who everyone will tell you, and he might be the first to say, like, he needs to be better against quality competition this year.
Oh, yeah.
That is the biggest thing that's holding Auburn back, but that doesn't mean it's guaranteed to be that way forever.
334-321-1390. We'll get to our first break of hour number two. If we have time, we'll let you hear some Cam Coleman, the freshman from Central, who has really already, turned every head that has watched him this spring. We're right back. Come on in and join us here on the Thursday Drive.
Attention large property owners and
toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Thursday afternoon, 19 minutes after 5 o'clock, and we'll get back to the drive hotline. And Jerry is up next. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. Looking forward to the Cam Coleman interview. I think that's going to be interesting. I'm just wondering what y'all thoughts were about Rivaldo Fairchild.
Fairweather? He will be. I mean, he was Auburn's most reliable receiver a year ago.
He actually played more receiver than he did tight end by the end of it.
So, I mean, he will be one of, I don't know that he'll be the, but he'll be one of the primary targets for Auburn this year.
I would be surprised if Rivaldo's not a top three receiver for Auburn this year.
And I would think that that means more than, you know, Auburn still, it's you look all time and Auburn receiving numbers are not, you know, not anything overly
especially
impressive.
Tight ends.
Yes.
I think Rivaldo's a guy that kind of like what we saw from him last year. It's just things should be, if Cam Coleman and Perry Thompson and Robert Lewis, we haven't talked about him as much, but Robert Lewis has gotten a lot of good reps here. If the wide receivers around him step up this season, you should see more opportunities.
It's going to create
better
more
leverage and all that. And I feel like Valdo is a guy that, as we saw last season, Auburn was probably at his best on offense when he got several, like 5, 6, 7 targets a game. And I think that could be where he is. Like, you're not. He's not Brock Bowers. He's not a guy you're going to throw it to 100 times, but nobody is. Like, you know, I think, though, with Rivaldo, he's going to be one of Auburn's best players this year like he was last year. And honestly, with the way the league went this season and with Brock Bowers no longer there, like, real good shot to be all-SEC, like, first-team all-SEC tight end. Like, he's going to be one of the better guys in the league based on what he did last year.
Yeah, he's a big, strong guy.
Oh, yeah, no question.
Great athlete. Phenomenal athlete for someone his size. Runs very well.
I remember he was a basketball guy. So.
Basketball guy. Soccer guy also growing up. Yeah.
Enjoy your show.
Appreciate it, Jerry. 334-321-1390. He mentioned, yes, Cam Coleman, among the players we had a chance to spend a little time with here earlier this afternoon over at the football complex. Thought we'd let you hear what Cam had to say earlier today. Yeah, obviously here, this is the – we're setting up, and Cam's just about to sit down. So.
West Philadelphia, born and raised. Something where I spent most of my days. That's all I know.
Okay. Cam, what's it been like to get on campus, start going through the spring, do all that stuff? How's it been so far?
Oh, it's really been great so far up to this point. Really – coming up here since I've been recruited, I've just been loving it, and now I'm up here. It's really been smooth.
What's the part that you've enjoyed the most to this point? Is this kind of getting on the field and starting to actually play a little football?
And really, like, bonding with some of my teammates. I met a lot of people, like Sam Jackson, Damari, Rico, really bonding with some of my new teammates.
What's been the hardest adjustment for you from Phoenix City Central to Auburn?
Auburn's really made it really easy to adjust, but really just the schoolwork for real. It's a lot more work, but it's nothing I can't handle.
What about on the football field? How's that been?
It's really different high school because everybody's good, everybody's fast, everybody's strong. So it's really like the small details you got to like really work on to separate from your opponent.
Hey, coaches talked a lot about just kind of how the wide receivers will change this offense, kind of, and you specifically being the head of this freshman receiver class. Do you, I guess, feel the pressure at all, kind of, on you guys, of that you are the ones that looked at to kind of change this offense going into the future under Hugh
Freeze? Really, there's no pressure. We're just really having fun. Really, just learning new offense. With Coach Nick's new offense, really, and like you said, we're a throwing type of offense. So it's really just out there having fun playing football.
Did you and the other freshman receivers kind of talk about the whole, like the Freeze 4 thing, this different group you guys have? Is that, like, kind of in the recruitment process, did that matter to you guys, that you guys can be that group to kind of change what happened from last season?
Yeah, we did. We talked about it quite a bit, especially when we came together at that what was the Alabama game, we talked about how like we could really change the trajectory of the offense. So it was really, we did talk about it quite a bit.
How can you change that?
Moving the chains, getting down the crucial moments, really just catching, having fun.
How for you, how much has it helped you and changed you? I mean, you're 10 pounds bigger already?
Yes, sir.
More stronger, more physical. Have you felt that difference on the field already?
When I first got here, I was 189, and now I'm 198. So I really can't really tell the difference. I can tell a little bit, like, strength-wise, I'm getting stronger in the weight room, but I feel like I've gotten a little bit faster. But
Was that a focus for you to say I'm gonna go in and get to go, or has it just been
It just happened. Like I didn't have a mindset I was gonna get better. It's just I've been working every day, doing small details, and it just came with time. I didn't think I was gonna almost hit 200 pounds my freshman. I thought I was gonna hit about my sophomore year, but it came faster than I thought it would. So it is what it is.
Talked to Marcus Davis, and he said you're incredibly coachable. He said it's been a joy to coach you, that you just kind of, you don't get too high, too low, but you just love ball. Like, how important is it to be a highly talented player like you are, but be super coachable when you first get here?
Really, you're just soaking things in. Like, it's fun, you're trying to figure things out. So, like, you really just can't come here and do your own thing. You got to, like, learn from the people that's been here. So really, you got like soak information up like a sponge, take good notes in the meeting rooms, and like whatever coach say do it, because that's how they want it done. So you just got to do it.
Playing for Patrick Nix, he's a guy that's coached in college. You played in a system that's very college friendly. How beneficial was that to have that head start?
Oh, playing in Coach Nix's office is real similar to not this office, because we're RPO style offense. So it's really the same, because we ran RPO in high school. So it's really similar.
Has that made the transition easier?
Yeah, it's really been easier, yes, sir.
You talked about that Alabama game and how that kind of helped solidify this group. I mean, obviously that was only a couple of days, maybe a week before you had flipped your commitment. I mean, is that kind of when you knew, or just kind of take, like, when did you kind of know, I think Auburn's where I want to end up?
Well, I knew before then, because when they fired Jimbo Fisher, mm-hmm. and they fired my position coach, Damon Craig from Texas A&M, I knew I was coming to Auburn. It was right up under Texas A&M, but like, it's...
Surely you saw other schools kind of like, you know, trying to sneak in there, obviously. I mean, what was it about what Auburn was doing and, you know, what Coach Davis was doing and Coach Freeze were doing that, you know, really kind of made sure nobody else could sneak in there?
It was really a feeling. Like, so like, you know how you walk into home and like, I'm at home. That's how I felt every time I was at Auburn. And so like, I knew it was go time when it happened to Texas A&M.
You mentioned Sam Jackson, but Robert Lewis, who of this older group has kind of, have you kind of gravitated towards to kind of help you in this transition?
Camden Brown, he's been a great leader. Coy, and Robert Lewis Coy and Camden Brown.
Yeah, what have you seen from Camden Brown? He's a guy that came in with a guy that, you know, kind of a lot of expectations, but he seems like he's having a really good spring.
Oh, he's having a phenomenal spring. Winning one-on-one balls, being coachable, getting separation. He's really been having a good spring up to this point.
Cam, do you have a sense of how high the hopes are from the fan base and the coaches too about what you can bring to this offense, even starting as a freshman?
Oh, I haven't really thought about it too much, because I'm just worried about playing ball. No, I haven't really thought about it that much. I'm just ready to play, ready to have fun.
How excited are you to get out there and show on SEC Saturday?
Words can't even describe how excited I am. It's just like a feeling, like a great feeling. I can't really explain. I'm excited, though.
And I know A-Day is not an SEC Saturday, but it is your first chance to be in that stadium in uniform. Just, what are you hoping to show on that game?
Really to see where I'm at. It's just going to show what I can improve on before the season comes. And it's really just an opportunity of learning and, like, learning how to operate. And really just a learning experience.
You and Perry obviously are going to get a lot of the attention, but you talk about the other freshman receivers. Bryce is here now. What does he bring to this offense?
Speed. Oh, that joker can run. He's probably fastest freshman that we have right now. Like, he's blazing past safeties, winning deep balls. It's nothing he can't do.
How much do you and Bryce talk to to Perry and Malcolm now to kind of giving them a heads up on what to expect, things to that to get them prepared for when they get here this season?
Really, almost every – probably every other day, because we tell them, like, what we do in practice, like, what to expect, because they're not here yet. They just, like, ask them questions, like, what – they ask them questions, we'll answer them, and we'll tell them, like we're running offense. But we're learning new stuff. Like, me and Bryce, we're learning as we go, so we can tell them what we're learning so they can kind of have, like, a – idea when they get here.
What's the biggest piece of advice you have for them now that you've been through 10 practices? What's the biggest piece of advice you have for them to get them ready?
Take good notes in the meeting room, because the notes, they're going to take you a long way. Come here with a humble mindset, because I got rocked in practice one time. I got rocked by Eugene. I tried to crack Eugene, and he was like, "Welcome to college." I thought I could get him, but come ready to work. That's all. Come ready to work.
What's it mean to have Dylan here with you?
Oh, Dylan, that's my dog. It's really great, because we've been trying to figure things out together. Mm-hmm. So like, we're not like alone. So like, we're just like, "What you doing right here? Like, what would you do?" And like, we'll help each other in, like, study plays. We're just really getting each other better.
And you know, talk about the pressure. I mean, people like to say, you know, he looks like a grown man, okay, but I mean, you're a freshman in college. What are kind of maybe some of the adjustments you've had to make, you know, away from the football field, like living by yourself, living away from home? Like, what have you learned about yourself, you know, just kind of being here since January?
Really, how much I ate, because like, and I feel like I'm at the grocery store like every week. Like, I'd be, you know, like the Hot Pockets gone, the Eggos. I mean, I didn't, and my mom used to tell me, like, she was like, You gonna see when you move on your own how much you eat. And then I didn't realize it till like, but I'm always in wellness center eating. But like on the weekends, it's like, I gotta go to the grocery store. Gotta get some more cereal. Gotta get some more milk. Gotta get some more paper towels and stuff. Like, really just keeping up.
With so it's made you appreciate mom even more.
Yes. And I miss it.
Cam, you mentioned that you just want to play ball, but you do know there are expectations for you, I guess, from a lot of people out there. Is it important to you to not feel those expectations, just be able to go play and not worry about it?
I'm really just go out there and play. Even if things, I mean, if I just, I'm just ready to play. That's really the thing.
So you don't put that pressure on yourself?
No.
Is that sort of how you're built?
Yes, man. I'm just really worried about. I'm really just taking it one play at a time, one step at a time. I'm still trying to get through spring, so I'm just really just taking it one, like, one day at a time.
Did you have goals coming in the spring, like where you started and where you wanted to
finish? Go ahead. Yeah, I think he was turning away there at the end. But, I mean, engaging. You can tell he's still a kid.
Yep.
That's having a good time. But he doesn't seem, like I said, doesn't seem like anything is really, you know, feeling any pressure overwhelming him. He is very much, I mean, he very much is ready. He's going to be ready to play. I mean, he just has unbelievable natural ability and handles it so well.
Yeah, very impressive. And like we talked earlier, he will make us better.
Oh, there's no question about that. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about, we'll talk a little bit. Auburn baseball coming up in less than a half an hour as the Tigers will be taking on Texas A&M, another top five team that Auburn has to meet up with down in over in College Station. Major League Baseball, we can look at some of the games that are going on today. Love to hear from you, though, here on the Thursday Drive.
Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 20 minutes or so here on this Thursday. Bill, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer, and Coach Don. Justin, why don't you let folks know what all's going on there with the Observer? I mean, what you got coming up here in the future, and of course how they can get hold of it if they don't already.
Well, I mean, we've had a lot of basketball this week, and we'll continue to have some basketball. I'm actually putting finishing touches on a story that'll go up tomorrow, just talking about what we discussed with Bruce Pearl today. But I wrote a story on Cam Coleman earlier this week. We'll have some more spring football next week as we get closer to A-Day. podcast. We'll probably put that out on Saturday this weekend, talking some football and basketball there. And then if you're an Auburn fan who's trying to figure out what's going on with the basketball team and the roster and all the comings and goings, we do a football roster tracker. We're doing a basketball one as well. A lot of folks jumped on to read the basketball one. I've updated that about 20 times already, trying to keep it fresh every day. So
of course the only official move that we have is KD entering
KD
the portal.
Out, but.
But a lot of possibilities.
Who Auburn's targeting in the portal and all that. So if you want to check all that out, auburnobserver.com. We're doing the $5 a month deal. That's going to run between now and the end of 8A weekend. So check that out. And like always with the Observer, we email everything out to you. So tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., you will get a newsletter on basketball. You'll get a podcast on Saturday, and we'll roll right into A-Day week. So it'll be a lot of stuff going on. It's a great time to sign up.
Yeah, it really is. There is so much going on. One of the things we mentioned, it is it's really the opening day of Major League Baseball. The Dodgers and Padres played a couple of games in Korea last week, but everybody was supposed to be in action today. 15 games on the schedule in Major League Baseball. Two rained out, including the Braves and Phillies. That one rained out, and they will they'll play again. They'll hopefully the weather clears up and they can play tomorrow. Also postponed because of rain, the Mets home opener against the Brewers. Other than that, though, we've had a couple of games. Well, actually, I guess four finals already in Major League Baseball in a great. I wonder how cold it was in Chicago, because that was a 1-0 Tigers. The Tigers blank the White Sox 1-0 today. Tarik Skubal with the win. He combined. On a shutout, let's see, I don't know how far he went, but Jason Foley came in and got the save for the Tigers as they blanked the White Sox 1-0 on opening day. More runs in some of the other games that have gone final. The Dodgers with just ridiculous lineup that they have. Got homers from Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts, and their prize new acquisition on the mound, Tyler Glasnow, shuts down the Cardinals, and the Dodgers win 7-1 today. One other final in the National League as the Reds, traditionally the opening game that, you know, I've talked about it a little yesterday, Don. I mean, yep. you grew up listening to the Reds.
Yes.
The Reds used to always
be the first
team to play, and a lot of times, for many years, they were the only game
right
on opening day.
Right, I remember that. And it's all changed like everything else. And I was kind of shocked to see some of the American League teams playing the National League teams.
Well, you've got 15 teams in the American League and 15 in the National. Yeah. So you have to have if everybody plays, you have to have that one intersectional game.
I got you.
One interleague game. Let's see. That one is that the Cubs?
Cubs.
Yeah, Cubs tonight. Rangers. That's right. That's the game on ESPN tonight, I believe, is the Cubs and Rangers. But yeah, the Reds win behind two or three home runs on the day. Frankie Montas, who was I believe your Cy Young runner up in the American League 3 years ago, bouncing back from a terrible year last year in New York. But hey, that happens to a lot of folks when they go to New York. He pitched very well, didn't allow a run, and the Reds beat the Nats 8-2. One other American League final. The Twins down the Royals 4-1. You've got a few games going on right now.
Mm. Oh, the Royals only scored one?
Yeah.
Okay, do you know what their one run was?
No, I don't.
Lead off homer.
Is that right?
So they didn't score again after that.
Oh,
yikes.
Man. No. I just saw the final there.
Michael Garcia had a homer in the bottom of the first, and they didn't get another run. Wow.
Oh, that's tough. The O's off their 100-plus win season a year ago.
They're scary.
They opened things up at Camden Yards by blasting the Angels. Mike Trout did homer in his first at-bat, and for a while that was the only run. Only two hits for the Angels on the day. Corbin Burns. What a welcome addition that is to Baltimore to get an ace like that. I know he struck out the side in the first around the home run by Trout.
And they got They've got the back-to-back rookies of the year in the American League. Yes. And
the top prospect in all of baseball in the minors in Jackson Holliday.
Yeah, it's they're going to be good for a long time.
Yeah, they should be. They should be good for
a long time. And
then
they just added one of the best pitchers in baseball to what was already a pretty good young staff.
Well, it's great when you can get an anchor. You can get an ace like they did in Corbin Burns. Some other games are underway. It's bottom nine right now. The Blue Jays about to put away the Rays 8-2. Top nine, the Padres leading the Giants by the score of 6-3. Also top nine, Pirates and Marlins are tied at 5. And in the top of the ninth, the Astros had a 4-0 lead over the Yankees. Yanks have come back, and they lead it now 5-4 and batting in the top of the ninth. Rest of the games will be a little later on today. We mentioned Auburn baseball coming up tonight. The Tigers 1-5, but I don't feel terrible about the way Auburn played this past weekend against the number one team in the country in Arkansas. I mean, they drop a one-run game, a 1-0 game. That was one of the craziest things you'll see. It wasn't terrible weather or anything. A first inning homer, and that was the only run of the game. Auburn dropping its first game to Arkansas this past week. And then in a back and forth game, they fell 6-5 before they came back and came from behind and beat Arkansas in the final game of the series 8-6. So then Tuesday night, they run ruled Jacksonville State. So I think Auburn feeling pretty good. We'll see how Connor McBride does tonight, getting his second weekend start for the Tigers. Pitched really well, like I said, just gave up that one run, a tough loss for he was a tough luck loser last week against Arkansas. And if they can get solid pitching there, then they've got a real good chance. They need to, again, we've talked about it, this just killer gauntlet that they have to start the season with four top five teams to open up conference play. But if they can I think if they can head to the middle of the season of 30 conference games, if they can be heading into the second 15 at 6-9,
mm-hmm.
I think they've got a good chance, because the front half of the schedule is so much more difficult,
brutal,
than the back half.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. Big weekend, and let's get 2 out of 3 at least. So that would help. That would be huge.
Well, Friday night's always huge. That's right. Tonight. One. Tonight is going to be as well. It feels like Friday.
Yes, sir.
The first game of the series is always huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking. Yeah, it's a 3-game series, so it's Friday. No, because of Easter weekend, obviously it's Thursday through Saturday. All right, we'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Love for you to come in and join us. Give us your thoughts on the Sweet 16 games tonight, or anything on your mind here on the Thursday Drive.
6-7 online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final segment here. I mean, look, it's opening day. I love baseball.
Mm-hmm.
It's opening day. We got 3/4 of the room here has been looking at fantasy stats and stuff like that. While Don and one of them. Doesn't bother me. It's just, you just want to make sure that your guys are in the lineup and they're not doing anything to get themselves out of the lineup.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm just saying, I'm glad to be here, but if the Braves were playing right now like they were supposed to, it would have been a hard time for me to get
into it. I know it. Well,
the thing is,
we wouldn't have been able to be watching it here, so.
Yeah, exactly. It's exciting. I mean, I was just watching random games this afternoon, just pulling them up. It's great. As someone who doesn't cover baseball, I've never covered baseball. Just been a Braves fan mostly for my life. I do love baseball and the fact that there's so many games. It is perfect background. Just throw it on.
Oh, yeah.
And just keep an eye on
stuff.
Game on,
look up when. Oh, yeah.
It takes up most of the downtime of the year for my sports and football and basketball. I'm happy to be there. And this was a big year for me. in baseball. It's a big year for me, period. But it's a big year for me in baseball related matters.
Yeah, it's a big year for me in baseball.
because myself and Jordan Hill, who used to cover Auburn here, he's back at Georgia.
Sure.
We went in 50-50 on a pair of season tickets for the Braves. So we're going to try to make a little money off it, you know. But also, we're both about an hour and a half from the stadium. So, I'm looking forward to the home opener next week. We're gonna try to get up there for that and then come back for A-Day on Saturday. So, I'm looking forward to it. I kind of wish the Braves were playing today, but also, like, I enjoy just being able to keep an eye on all the opening day stuff without my team being involved.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you'd ever been to an opening day.
Nope. So Braves.
A home opener at least will be, that'll be cool.
Yeah. I mean, I've been fortunate. I've been to a couple of Braves playoff games. The one last year I went to turned out pretty well, but the other one was game two of the 21 NLCS where Eddie Rosario's walk off against the Dodgers.
Well, the last Braves playoff game I went to, was the Sid Bream, Francisco Cabrera. Sid Bream.
You can't top that at all.
That was a radio station prize package.
Oh wow!
And I got to go along. With the winners.
Yeah.
And
that's awesome.
And we were in left field sitting behind Barry Bonds.
It's crazy.
Watching that play be made. I tell people, and again, probably because I'm in the press box most of the time, that's probably as piercing a scream as I've ever heard. And the only thing that came close to it is kick six.
Yep.
That just from something where the crowd's like, and it just kept getting higher and higher because he scored. And it's like nobody thought Sid Bream was going to beat the throw. And probably one of the better throws Barry Bonds ever made in his life. But, I mean, still, it was a great job by Bream cutting the base at third. And
Yeah.
So
it's hard to top that.
You're right.
Yeah. And it is cool, though, because it's like, you know, baseball's always been like, I played it and growing up, I was terrible at it. And then I was so bad at baseball that I stopped watching it for a while. I was like, I don't like this sport, you know. And then I got back into it,
sort of like
while.
Me in golf.
Yeah. But it's so cool because it's like, you know, I cover Auburn and I have family members who are Auburn fans, obviously. And like, but all of our pro teams, we're all different. Like, you know, my brothers and I all have different NBA teams we watch, NFL teams or anything like that. The Braves, though. Or the one, everyone
that's
in my family.
Thing,
that's the one thing we are all united on, and it's really cool. Like when the Braves moved from Milwaukee to Atlanta, my great grandfather started watching the Braves because they were on
TV.
That
was the only team, It was the only team around.
To be a fourth generation Braves fan is kind of cool because you don't get that in a lot of sports, especially nowadays.
You're right.
With the way like everybody can just go pick up and be a fan of some team
and free agency and now in college sports. I wonder, you know, with NIL.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Ty the Tiger, we've got a couple of minutes. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. I was going to say I've been a Braves fan since they've been on TBS, baby.
I miss them being on TBS because I can at least watch them.
They were. No kidding, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Now I use a site called Azuzu.tv. It's you got to check it out. You get all professional.
I have all my tricks up my sleeve during baseball season. Don't worry.
Yeah, you have to have
it. That's right. It's pretty good. But hey, man, I just wanted to say, man, this I've been watching some more videos and just kind of stuff. On this Ohtani stuff, man, it's getting pretty crazy.
Hey, I wonder.
You can deny all you want, but when you go out there and give up five home runs and somebody in your home city is betting stupid money that you are giving up five home runs, and you're, you know, because it's certain bets.
Yeah.
It's runs over.
Yeah,
I'll tell you.
It's not just a winning the game type thing. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you a real quick story about Ohtani. There was one of the games that people have kind of highlighted. The first game after the All-Star break a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We We were in Atlanta. It was Atlanta. Atlanta was media days.
Yeah, right.
It was the day after media days. I stayed back. We went, and it's like, oh, Ohtani's going to get a pitch. It was great. Ohtani mows down the Braves for the first five innings. Sixth inning, they get in, and he starts getting shelled. And that's one of the games everybody's been pointing at, like, oh, that one's a little interesting. Like, there's some interesting wagering happening there. So it would be absolutely insane if the lid gets blown off like that. Especially with what's going on with the NBA with Jonte Porter now, too. It's a lot of crazy stuff.
You see Pete Rose's quote?
Uh-uh.
Pete Rose said, I'm just a good interpreter away from being in the Hall of Fame.
My man, Pete.
Oh. Justin, it's been a lot of fun. Let everybody know one more time how they can get the Observer.
AuburnObserver.com. Check it out. It's $5 a month right now. Got a lot of stuff on the site. A lot of basketball. We'll grab some more football next week. Podcast over the weekend. Plenty of stuff. Jump on board.
Thanks, Justin. Have a great weekend.
Yes, sir. Y'all too.
Don, looking forward to seeing you tomorrow over at Fairway Auto Brokers.
For sure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We will be there on the line as well. So we're there from 2 to 6 tomorrow with ESPN 106.7. We're out of time here on the Thursday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.